discussion with Dr. Henry Miller of the American Council on Science and Health, a physician. HenryMillerMD.org is where to see Henry's reporting easily. We go now to an old friend. That's COVID-19. The epidemic changed. It iterated into different Omicron, Omicron 2, Delta. There were many names. And then it appeared to fade away, and the emphasis on vaccines appeared to fade away. Thanks to Henry's guidance, I've had all my vaccines recommended up to date because I'm a target. I'm well over 70 years old, and I have pre-existing conditions. All people with similar profiles, I'm glad you're healthy. And when and if there's a vaccine, you ask for it, and it will protect you. However, what we need, I learned from Henry, is something called a universal vaccine. Is that utopian, Henry, or is that in the works?
Well, it's in the works. It's been difficult for certain viruses. We've been trying to create a universal flu vaccine for many years, and that would obviate the need for yearly inoculations to respond to the flavors of flu that are circulating in a given season. But it hasn't been successful. And there are a number of ways that it's been tried for flu, primarily looking for parts of the virus that don't change from season to season, that are conserved. Those regions of the viral genome just are not good antigens, don't elicit a good and consistent immune response. But there are other ways that are being tried, and some of them are even in clinical trials. So we can be hopeful about that.
I want to emphasize something that you emphasize in your article. It's not if, it's when. Translate that, Henry. Explain to people why you know it's coming back.
Well, you know, we're way below the peaks of some of the surges that we've seen over the past 4 years for COVID. But there are still a large number of cases occurring, and even hospitalizations and deaths every day, every week. And what that means is with every infection, the virus replicates itself millions of times. And it's mutating with each replication. Most of the replications are neutral. Some are negative, and Darwinian evolution has those new variants fade out. But some of them are opportunistic and are more resistant to immunity, whether from previous infection or from vaccines, and may even be transmissible. So sooner or later, we're likely to get a bad actor that's highly transmissible, immune to vaccines and prior infection, and we need to be ready for that eventuality.
If I understand it, Henry, when somebody gets the virus and then recovers from it, and then gets it a second time and recovers from it, this was a routine story through 22 and 23, they're building up immunity. Is that correct? Is that immunity good for the possible iterations of the virus in the future?
Well, there are two things that happen. One is when you get an infection, either first time, second time, or thereafter, you do have good immunity for a while, but that immunity wanes with SARS-CoV-2, the COVID virus. We know that. And just as immunity wanes after vaccination. So I don't know when you had your last booster.
23.
Right. Same with me. And our immunity from that booster shot is pretty much gone now. I'm waiting eagerly for a new booster that should be out in the fall, and I'll be among the first in line to get it. So our immunity wanes, and if we do get the appearance of a new immune resistant and more transmissible virus, we're likely to see another surge. And that's what I mean by when. We'll see it eventually. It's not a matter of conjecture, really.
You report positive. I want to be positive here. That two young women who keep the Your Local Epidemiologist column, which I read now and again, reported that approximately 20 next-generation universal COVID vaccines are in the early preclinical stages of development. Five have reached clinical trials. Does that mean they're riding to the rescue, or is this typical? They have lots of preclinical and it doesn't work out.
Lots of preclinical that don't work out. Lots and lots. Especially for these viruses, which are very opportunistic and can defeat some of our best efforts. But there are a number of different approaches that are being taken. So one is to use live weakened adenoviruses, a different kind of virus, so that you can put different antigens into them. And once they're injected, they'll continue to produce these various antigens. And you just have to hope that you've selected enough of them, or the correct ones, that will provide immunity against future variants. Another way to do that is to put very large numbers, say upwards of a dozen of spike protein genes into your new vaccine, and hope that there are enough different portions of spike proteins represented in that vaccine, so that when new viruses appear, the vaccine will work against them. There are also variations on the vector, part of the vaccine that holds the antigens, and that includes not just mRNA that codes for a spike protein, but what's called self-amplifying mRNA, which replicates once it's in the human body, and so continues to produce the spike proteins, which could get around the problem of waning immunity from it. So there are lots of ways. They're also trying to find parts of the virus that's conserved from mutant to mutant. As I said, that has proved difficult in other situations.
Dr. Henry Miller, American Council on Science and Health. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hola, ¿qué tal? Te saluda Sari Carmen y te espero.